that it? And we checked it too together tonight, and we'll see if it plays out or not. All right then. Has him been replaced lately?
Twice.
Twice? Huh. Third time may be charm. Take your Bible, if you will, please, to the book of Luke. In the book of Luke tonight, in chapter number 3, you find the place. You're able to stand. We'll read a passage or two there. Luke chapter number 3. It's good to be saved, to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin. And we appreciate you being in service here tonight. And then we've got other folks that are sick and some that are just misput here, there, and yon. So we're glad you're here. All right, Luke chapter number 3, verse 21. And now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heavens was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, and in thee I am well pleased. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age. Being as was supposed the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. Now, Father, we ask your blessing upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it and how good it is to be in the house of God. We pray for these that have already been mentioned tonight that are sick. May you restore their health. We thank you for loving us even while we've been unlovable. We pray you'd save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while tonight about 30 years of age. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that something how God gives them those details that are there? I will tell you that incidentally that whenever we looked into that passage there and we talked about that that Jesus being about 30 years of age as was supposed, in other words, his daddy's God the Father, and his father's God the Father, but you'll find he's supposed as the son of Joseph, since that's Joseph is married to his mother. Now, in this Bible lesson that we're looking at, the reason why that I know that is because if you were to look into the genealogy, and obviously it has to do right there in that passage with Mary, and the reason I know that is because of the fact that the Bible says in Matthew chapter 1, verse 16, and Jacob begat Joseph. You know who Jacob's daddy was? Joseph. And that was his son, rather. Joseph's daddy was Jacob, the son of Mary, whom was born Jesus, which is called the Christ. Now, that don't clear you up who that is and all that. Well, why do they put that like that? Obviously, that he has some kind of other reason that is deeper than I could swim, but I dug up everything and everybody that I couldn't find on it. The big thing that we're looking at is that at about the age of 30 plus, somewhere along in there, about 30 years of age, the Lord Jesus Christ was baptized in the Jordan River. Now, he wasn't baptized because he was doing an example. I was listening to a preacher that said, even the Lord Jesus did that for our example. No, he didn't. That's not the reason why he done it. The reason why he was baptized of John the Baptist in the Jordan River, God the Father had told John the Baptist, I want you to go baptize in the Jordan River. And one of these days, you're going to bring somebody up out of the water, and you're going to hear a voice from heaven, and you're going to see the dove light upon him, and so forth and on, and you're going to know that's him that is going to be the Son of the living God that's going to lead Israel. And, of course, and the reason why that we know that, if you read all of John, St. John, chapter 1, chapter 2, you'll find that the next day that John the Baptist, after that he had baptized him, after that he saw the heaven open and saw the dove descend like the Spirit of God descend like a dove, and heard the voice, this is my beloved Son in whom that I'm well pleased. By the time he saw that, the next day he's able to see Jesus as he's walking by, and he's able to point out, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. I got to tell you right now is that when you begin to look, I love this thing about the virgin birth and about the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is such Son of the Living God. And of course, you know, people in that day understood that's why they wanted to kill him, because that he makes himself the Son of the Living God. He didn't make himself, but they knew whenever he claimed to be the Son of God that he was God incarnate in human flesh. Now, in the lesson that we're looking at, I want to show you another thing that, if I might, real quickly. Look in Matthew chapter number 2, if I'm looking right. And in the book of Matthew, chapter number 2, you know what a wonderful lady that Mary was. What a wonderful man Joseph was. And boy, let me tell you right now, you talk about a busy time of taxation and them running to and fro in the land. God had him at the right place at the right time for the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. In this lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out is that in Matthew chapter number 2, verse 1, now Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, and behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. And I want to tell you, look again now, verse 2, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east. Look at that. I mean, he had his own star, is he not? He is a star, make no mistake about it. And I'm not talking about like Hollywood. I'm talking about, no doubt, dear friend, that shines in the world, and they can't get away from the fact that his star was shining in the east. And the Bible said, we're come to worship him. Now, that bothered Herod a little bit, if you looked in verse number 4. It troubled him. He's a king, an Idumean, if you will, please, and he has no reason to be on the throne except for Israel's sin. And yet you'll find that here's what ends up happening with him, is that Herod's a little troubled. And he tells him, he said, I want you to find out where he is so that I may go and worship him too. But Herod wanted to kill him. And not only that, he's able to kill a lot of babies from 2 years old and upward and so forth from the time that they left, or 2 years old and under. But make no mistake about it, is that that the Lord Jesus Christ was born, and God built a hedge about him and protected him with Joseph and Mary. Now, I want you to notice another thing that in the lesson. In Matthew chapter number 1, here's what he says in the passage there. Verse 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. Now watch this. And knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, he called his name Jesus because that's what the Lord instructed them to do. And that's what Emmanuel, being God with us, is going to mean. Now, I want you to look at another passage real quickly over in the book of Mark. Mark chapter 6. I'll give you a moment to find that right there. When you look there, you'll find that there were other children that Joseph and Mary had, but he didn't even have a relation as a man and a woman with her till after they had brought forth their firstborn son, namely the Lord Jesus Christ. She conceived as a virgin. She gave birth as a virgin. It was all said and done, and afterwards she was still a virgin and knew not her husband, and knew not until after that they had already brought forth their firstborn son. That's a very vital thing. There are those that teach that Mary stayed a virgin from now on and stayed childless from now on. That's just not true. I want you to notice in verse number 1, Mark chapter 6, we'll take up reading there. And he went from thence, and he came to his own country, and his disciples follow him, talking about Jesus Christ. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these sayings? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Then notice the question, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Jose, and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin, in his own house. Now I want to tell you something. Look in verse number 3. Somebody said, did they have any more children? He's got two brothers. He mentions them, James and Jose there, and Judah and Simon. There's four of them. And are not his sisters, you know how many sisters he had? I don't know, but more than one. That's why they put in the plurality. And so as a result of that, you'll find that what a glorious record of the Lord Jesus Christ, how that he was conceived and how she carried him and how they were summoned by taxation to be able to be at Bethlehem at the right place at the right time. I want to say unto you that it's good to be saved, to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin. Now, turn in your Bible, if you will, to the book of Luke. I think it is in Luke in chapter number 1. In the book of Luke in chapter 1. I'll give you a second there. Now, there's a passage there, and I want you to notice, if you will, please, at about verse number 46. Now, Mary said, and here's the unique thing about Mary. She was not highly favored above women. She was highly favored among women, the scripture said. And what a godly woman that she was. But let me show you, if you will, the most unique thing about her and the best thing about her is that you and I have the same common thing. And Mary said, my soul doeth magnify the Lord. And my spirit hath rejoiced in, look, God my Savior. You know the reason why this is so wonderful? The same Savior that I know is the same Savior she knew. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden, for behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him, and from generation to generation. Look in chapter 2 now, if you will, please, about verse 11. For in the passage there it says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is called the Christ of the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you that ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. I want to tell you something. No wonder that Mary was able to start out in chapter 1 saying, my soul magnifies the Lord. I want you to notice, if you will, please, in chapter 1 of the book of Luke, and about verse number 35, if I remember right, and we'll begin to look there in that passage there. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. And therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now I'm going to tell you what terminologies the Lord uses there in behalf of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Christ child that's going to be born. The Holy Ghost is going to come upon thee. The power of the highest is going to come upon. The holy thing which will be born of thee is the Son of the living God. I don't know about you, but that does my heart good, and I'm just overwhelmed inside whenever I look at and I see the birth of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. And let me tell you right now, is that I don't know, you know, somebody says we're trying to figure out the exact moment, the second, date and the same exact time. Listen, forget all that. Just be thankful that he has been born, that he has grown up, that he has gone to the cross, that he did bow his head, that he did give up the ghost and say it's finished, and that he resurrected the third day and brought his life back up just like he said that he would and that he could. No man took my life from me, he said. I'm able to lay it down. I'm able to raise it back up. I want to tell you, I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be a child of the living God and to know him in the free pardon of sin. Now, I can tell you right now, I've seen people that did not know the Lord, did not want to know the Lord, did not want to surrender their life unto him. And let me tell you right now is, you're looking at a person here tonight. I'm standing here before you. And let me tell you something. I've never known another woman outside of my wife. We never went together as a man and woman, never got together in a relation until after that we got married. Let me tell you right now, I've never been drunk one time in my life, unless you want to count that one time I took NyQuil when I was sick. And that stuff make you crazy, made me crazy. I've never been. I just wanted to tell you right now, old Dennis, according to his mama, said, "You're a good boy, Dennis." I don't know why I was getting whipped so much. I don't know why she's tearing my little tail up so much if I'm such a good boy. But I wanted you to see that, if you will, please. I've not led a rough. I've never been on dope, unless you're talking about whatever drugs that we're getting down. I take six in the morning, six handfuls at night, and all that. I used to tell everybody, if you're taking more than two pills a day, one of them's not necessary. Now I'm taking six a day in the morning, six at night. I asked my doctor, I said, "Are these all necessary?" And he said, "When did you have your stroke?" I said, "Well, it's been about 3 years, 4 years ago, whenever it was." And anyhow, and he said, "When would you like to have your next one?" Well, I don't want to. Do I look like an idiot? Don't answer that, doc. But yeah. I just said all that to be able to say this. I don't care how good that a person may see themselves, that they may have grown up, is that we're all sinners in need of Christ to be saved by the grace of God. And I was just as lost in going to hell as the worst adulterer and the worst whoremonger and the worst drunkard and the worst, you got it? Listen, I'm not in the family of God because of anything I've done. If I got what I deserved, I'd be in hell right now, and you'd be there with me too. I'm glad to know God's grace and God's mercy is sufficient for you and I. I think about these little boys and girls, and I've watched many of them when they came down the aisle under conviction. Preacher, I want to trust the Lord with all of my heart. Good thing. That's a good thing. Make no mistake about it, is that when you come to him as an empty-handed beggar, he'll right every wrong, save your soul, change your life, put your feet on the solid rock and establish your going, and you'll be able to go with him ever since. It's good to be saved, and it's good to know him. And it's good to let your soul, like Mary, magnify the name of the Lord together. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Our Father, thank you for letting us come together like this. I want to thank you, Lord, for all those men and women and boys and girls that knew Christ in the Bible. And those that we've been able to experience after that we've grown up ourselves. And Lord, thank you for loving me while I was unloving, for saving our soul. Now right every wrong, give us, I pray, a good next few days, and as we celebrate and think about the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now bless, I pray, these families that are represented here tonight. Be with